Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. And talking about the Russo-Ukrainian war, and it's been going on for a year and 10 months. But on the other hand, we could say it's been going on for almost 10 years, if we count it starting way back in March 2014. So time to take stock. Where is Russia winning and where is Ukraine winning? Now, not just geographically, but also sort of in what sectors of the war. In terms of the court of world opinion, Ukraine is winning. Because, you know, remember, Russia only had five other countries to vote against the United Nations General Assembly resolution condemning the invasion of Ukraine. And all right, there are dozens of neutral countries. But, you know, it was five for Russia's invasion of Ukraine and over 100 against and quite a few neutral. So in the air, Russia still got air superiority. Their air force outnumbers Ukraine 10 to 1. Now, admittedly, they can't use all those assets over Ukrainian airspace because they've got such huge other borders. And NATO's not been very helpful because NATO could have had demonstrations in other places, whatever air exercises, war games, to spook the Russians and say, we need to hold back quite a lot of our planes on the border with Finland, for example, or around Kaliningrad, anything like that. Or the United States and Japan in the North Pacific Ocean. But on the Black Sea, Ukraine has been highly successful, especially considering they don't have a navy anymore. So they on the 27th of December, they sank that ship, the Novocherkassk. Ukrainian jets, they fired Storm Shadow missiles. I'm not sure if there's any just one Storm Shadow that hit it. It's in the Russian port of Feodosia. So that's in Russia proper. It's not in the illegally occupied parts of Ukraine that Russia seized, such as the Crimean Peninsula. So even Russia admitted that it was damaged, but they didn't say there were any casualties. There's a Russian Telegram channel saying there were 77 sailors on board when the missile struck. But unofficial Russian media says that dozens of sailors are dead, as in presumably dead. And they claim that the British manufactured Storm Shadow is actually what sunk that missile. So the United Kingdom is going to give two more of these Mine Hunter ships to the Ukrainians. Perhaps foolish to announce in advance, because then the Russians might give them a warm welcome when they enter the Black Sea. So Ukraine has denied the western half of the Black Sea to the Russians. But in the air, the Russians still dominate. And it's probably going to be the summer of 2024 before Russia is challenged by Ukraine with those F-16s they're going to get. They've been trained on them and just finished basic training. So like everything, the West has been too little, too late. And that's maybe one of the reasons why Putin is saying, shall we negotiate now? Because that could be a bit of a game changer. I mean, I don't think it will be. Not that I know much about aviation, because but they're just not enough of them. They're only going to receive about 40. And okay, maybe more countries will give other Fighting Falcons. Even they receive 80. That'll certainly be helpful. But again, I don't think it's going to shift the balance in favor of Ukraine decisively, which is why the counteroffensive, one of the reasons why the counteroffensive failed. So that was a Russian victory, managing to stave off the Ukrainian counteroffensive. But around Kupiansk and Avdiivka, the Russians are attacking, but they're only inching forward, just like they would Bakhmut at a snail's pace. Although there's not so many complaints that the casualties are outrageously high, as they were earlier this year, when particularly Wagner private military company under Yevgeny Prigozhin was trying to get Bakhmut, and then he was complaining, he was lambasting General Valery Gerasimov, that he wasn't providing a decent amount of ammunition. And that's why Prigozhin said five times more Russians were killed than needed to be killed, because they were so starved of ammunition. But the sides of being starved of ammunition now is Ukraine. And I don't see that situation radically improving. It'll improve a bit. I think they will get that aid package through the United States Congress. I mean, not on the 2nd of January. It might be February or something. And it won't be the whole $50 billion. It'll be something. And it won't be all released at once. And likewise, there will be more aid from European Union countries, maybe severally, if not jointly. But you know, it's just not going to be as much as it was before. Western liberality is running out. And it's actually very short-sighted, because this is a false economy not to provide it now, because, you know, Ukraine is the front line of all the other European countries. Poland worried about being invaded by Russia. They'll never be invaded by Russia if Ukraine stands. If Ukraine survives, then Russia can't get near Poland. I know they've got the Kaliningrad exclave, but that's far too small for Russia to use as a launch pad to invade Poland. Apart from the geographical considerations, Russia just be trashed. They'd lose so much of their military hardware. Some of the people would be killed. They'd be so demoralized. The Putin regime might fall. And so for all sorts of reasons, that would keep the rest of Europe, the Western world, the free world in general, safe. You know, the Japanese worried, you know, the Kuril Islands they'd like back. Would they be attacked by Russia? Maybe not, but they might be attacked by Russia's ally, North Korea, and so forth. The Taiwanese, were they forced to join the People's Republic of China? Or maybe if China is buoyed up by Russian success against Ukraine and other bad actors elsewhere, which is not to say that Western countries have never done wrong or aren't doing wrong right now. Just look at what's happening in Gaza with American supplied weapons, with, you know, thousands of Palestinian civilians killed, many of them children. And so, yes, I know Israel's entitled to take military action, but this just goes beyond the beyond. Anyway, I digress, as Putin would have me do. So Ukraine's under pressure at two fronts. And Avdiivka will fall, but I think it'll be a matter of weeks. Kupiansk likewise. Will there be a Russian spring offensive, in March? Yeah, maybe. And there's some debate about how high the numbers are. Remember, 17th of March is the date to watch. That's the Russian presidential election. I wonder who's going to win. I mean, that's a hard one. Putin or sort of 15 nobodies against him. Only one woman standing against him. He's the oldest of all the candidates at 71. There's somebody who's 39 who's running against him. But then after that, partly because the weather's improving, also the presidential election's out of the way, that's a time for a mobilization. That's a time for a big onslaught. Moreover, obviously the snows will have melted. It'll be muddy, actually quite difficult to advance at that time. But they'll probably try it. They didn't really learn that lesson in 2022. Notably, the two-day war has turned into a two-year war. Even if we count this war as beginning only the 24th of February, 2022. So really, Russia's winning in everything except at sea. And really just because that's the Western countries are not supplying more long-range weapons. The United States could provide those cruise missiles. The USA manufactures Tomahawk missiles and could strike deep inside Russia and so on to destroy their shell factories and tank factories. And then Russia just wouldn't have the munitions to prosecute the war. There's only so much that North Korea can provide them with. They provide them with a lot already. Likewise, Iranian drones, you could take out Iranian drone factories. I'm surprised the Israelis didn't strike a deal with the United States. Well, they might yet do it. Say, all right, we'll ease off the Gaza offensive. We'll allow more humanitarian aid in. We'll call it off or something. If you strike Iran for us and hit those places where the Israelis suspect the Iranians are trying to manufacture nuclear weapons and things like that. And so the United States could do that. But would that be illegal? Would that be against international law? What right does the United States have to do that? Well, moreover, they don't have proof positive that Iran actually is manufacturing nuclear weapons. And why can it be wrong for the Iranians to do so when the United States has done so 80 years ago? So at the moment, the balance has shifted towards Russia. It's going to be quite difficult to shift it back. I mean, a stalemate is maybe the best case scenario for Ukraine. So a Russian breakthrough might happen this year. An outright Russian victory cannot be ruled out in 2024. I don't think it's going to happen, but I give it some chance of happening. As in taking Kyiv, taking the whole country, I think is quite low. Give maybe a 10% chance they'll take the whole of Ukraine. There's maybe a 30% chance they'll take Kyiv this year. And the West has got itself to blame because the cost is relatively low of keeping Ukraine in the fight. But the cost of Russian victory for the free world is immense. So I think we ought to think well about what would actually serve our security interests in the longer term. Right. Thank you for watching the channel. Goodbye.